You guys ready down there?
I'm ready.
Soon as Anne's done with the.
Better than not.
Morning, everyone. I'm going to call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. First order of business, please. If you have any cell phones, go ahead and put them on silent right now. And join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty. First off this morning, we'd like to recognize Pete Livermore. You might have read he passed on yesterday. Pete was served in the United States Marine Corps, made his home in Carson City. He was active in youth programs there. He was definitely a community leader. He did 12 years as a Carson City supervisor, just completing his second term in the legislature. So he was a really nice man. He was truly a gentleman, and he was a friend of Story County. So if we just give a moment of silence for Pete. Thank you. We're going to move on now to item number three, discussion on possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, October the 21st, 2013. Mark, come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. We got Board of County Commissioner meeting Tuesday, October 21st, 2014. Agenda item number three, this is discussion before the action and approval of today's agenda, October 21st, 2014. My concern is in item number eight under the consent agenda, the possible action of rescheduling November Board of County Commission meetings and canceling our regular meetings of November 4th and 18th. I refer to statute. Okay, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. NRS 244.085 regular. In additional meetings of the board, number one, regular boards at a meeting of board of commissioner must be held in the county seat at least once in each calendar month on day or days fixed by ordinance. I would make a case that it would be illegal to cancel both regular meetings in one calendar month, and I've handed this statute to district attorneys, so maybe y'all could ask the DA if I might be right on this, and possibly reconsider canceling both meetings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Mark just handed me the statute, but NRS 244.085, subsection 4, what the plan, as I understand it, is that we're going to cancel the meeting on the 4th, and then we have another one on the 18th. We're going to cancel the 4th and the 18th, which is the 2 days we normally have it per our ordinance, but then subsection 4 of that statute says the meeting day and place as fixed by ordinance must remain unchanged unless notice of a proposed change is published once a week for 2 consecutive weeks in a newspaper of general circulation in the county. And I believe we're doing that, so we're still having the one meeting a month, and we're changing the other regularly scheduled meeting as provided by subsection four. So I think we're all right in having one meeting in November, and that meeting will be on the 12th. And otherwise, might have been on November 11th, but that's Veterans Day. So
right.
I think we can have the one meeting on November 12th, and we're complying with this statute and our ordinances because we're noticing, like it requires in subsection 4 of NRS 244.085.
And the 18th will be in Ely.
Yeah. So anyway, it's customary this time of year to go ahead and cancel meetings because of the holiday, and also the special election. I mean the special meetings called so that we can canvass the votes of the election coming up. So that, and along with a lot of government officials will be attending the NACO conference in Ely. It makes for a very congested calendar this month. So, anyway, is there any other discussion on the agenda today?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda on the advice of the district attorney. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Any questions on today's consent agenda? Hearing none.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you. Okay, at this time, we're going to go ahead and move some things around here. We're going to move right up to item number 20. Under community development and planning, this will be discussion of possible action on the special use permit amendment 2009-034-A-1-2014. This is for Fulcrum Sierra Biofuels LLC. Ms. Redmond.
Thank you, Commissioner. So this is an amendment for an existing special use permit located within the tribe boundary. The applicant is here with us tonight, Fulcrum Biofuels, Jeannie Benedenti. The applicant requests an amendment to existing special use 2009-034 to construct and operate a biofuels facility to include current design and technologies utilized in a waste-to-fuels facility. Further, the applicant requests an amendment to reflect the recent acquisition of an additional 2.59 acres of property. So I will just, you have the staff report. I'm here to answer any questions or more than happy to ask the applicant to approach the podium. So if we want to move forward with questions and deliberations, I'm here for any answers.
Thank you. Mr. Shevagan, do you have any questions on this?
I have questions on it, and I'm prepared to make a motion for discussion. Recommended motion is in accordance with the recommendation of planning commission staff, the findings under section 6.1 of the staff report, and or the findings deemed appropriate by the board and in compliance with all conditions of approval. I, Bill Shovagan, hereby move to approve special use permit amendment 2009-034-A-1-2014 to construct and operate a biofuels facility to include the current design and technologies utilized in a waste fuels facility. The amendment also reflects the recent acquisition of an additional 2.59 acres of real property for a total subject property of approximately 19.4 acres. The APN number 005-071-29.
And you want to read findings of fact, conclusions of law?
Yes, I can move forward with reading the findings. The following findings are evident with regard to the requested SUP amendment. The proposed SUP amendment complies with all federal, Nevada State, and Story County regulations. The proposed SUP amendment will not be incompatible with or detrimental to the existing abutting uses or surrounding area. The conditions of approval of the SUP amendment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the 1999 official zoning ordinance of Story County, section 17.12.018, uses permitted subject to a special use permit. Section 17.37 I-2 heavy industrial zone, section 17.62 special uses, or section 17.60 variances. And the proposed SUP amendment will further the diversification of the local economy and is in substantial compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the master plan. And the proposed SUP amendment will not cause uses that will negatively impact existing or planned public services or facilities and will not adversely impact the public health, safety, and welfare of the surrounding areas. And the SUP and the proposed SUP amendment will not create any nonconforming conditions except whereas otherwise allowed by the conditions of approval for the SUP amendment.
I don't know if we did you call out for public comment?
I haven't yet, but thank you.
That's why I said for discussion. Make a motion for discussion.
So at this time, I will ask, any public comment on this? Both from biofuels?
You know, I don't, I just bring this up. The applicant, when she testified at the Planning Commission meeting, pointed out that she's on a commission down in California, and this would have taken 10 or 12 meetings to get through there, and this is basically going to be two meetings here in Story County. So I don't know if you want to elaborate on that or not, but.
The one thing that we do want to know and hear from you is when you have the open house, what's on the menu?
It won't be MSW. Jeannie Benedetti, I'm a vice president of Fulcrum Sierra Biofuels, LLC. I've been before you as a board for 7 years. It's been, we have bought the development rights to this project 7 years ago. We've been through the economic downturn. In the past couple of months, we've had some exciting news. U.S. Agricultural, USDA, announced that we got a $105 million loan guarantee, with the lender record being Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. We're working on the financial close of that transaction right now. Also, on September 19th, the Department of Defense Air Force, out of Wright-Patterson, announced that we were awarded phase two of a $70 million grant, which is free money, to begin phase two, which is the detailed engineering for the biorefinery and a separate feedstock processing facility, which will be located near the Lockwood facility with our partner, Waste Management, who is invested in Fulcrum, to build a feedstock processing facility where we'll process the MSW into feedstock and then transport it to the biorefinery. That's been one of the design changes that we've done, where initially we were ethanol, if you recall, and that's part of the special use permit amendment that we've processed before you. When we bought the development rights, we were converting MSW into ethanol. And the Defense Department's biggest part of their budget is fuel. And so this grant has enabled us to convert our technology to create jet fuel. And so it's kind of exciting because our process demonstration unit back in North Carolina, we've actually converted garbage into jet fuel. And so that phase one of the grant actually enabled us to do that. And so this project here will be turning garbage into jet fuel. And then we'll be combining that with fossil and then selling that into the marketplace. And so we hope to be breaking ground here on our first phase of our project, which will be the feedstock processing facility in the first quarter of this year. Josh Nicholson, who's with me, lives here in Reno. He's a graduate of the university, and he'll be working with us to start that work. And we are excited about that. So thank you very much for hopefully passing our special use permit, and it's exciting. So
we want to thank you for choosing Story County and coming to Northern Nevada with this process. It's kind of, it's leading edge technology, and to have that opportunity here in our community, and to start enhancing the flow of trash drains and limiting the use of landfills and creating a product that is so expensive in the world today. This is just a win-win-win for everyone, and We thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
For bringing this technology to Northern Nevada.
Thank you. You know, our facility will convert about 770 tons a day of garbage into jet fuel, and that is a big diversion out of that landfill. And even though that landfill has a huge life, it's being able to convert that product that's destined, it is a good thing. So thank you very much. And as was mentioned, I am a planning commissioner for the city that I live in, and you know, one reason why Tesla never would have gone to California is it never would have gone, made it through the CEQA process. And we sit and look through at projects, and it takes a year and a half to site housing projects. And here, the permitting cycle, it's not that we are shorting this environmental process, but it just, you make the business opportunity happen, and that's what's important. And so you enable, and it's business friendly, and we can get the work done. And so thank you very much.
Great, that's what we like to hear. Congratulations on securing your funding.
Yes.
To get this started. What is your time frame of being up and operation?
The feedstock processing facility this time next year, we want to be making feedstock, and then the biorefinery would be 6 months to. 6 months to 9 months after that. We don't want to be in a place where we're trying to start up two operations at the same time, because the biorefinery is so critical to have a steady supply of feedstocks. We want to be able to have all the kinks worked out with that state of the art. It's great feedstock. It's going to be a sophisticated mechanical process to sort garbage, more or less, into a unique specification for the gasification process. So we're going to get that up, operating, and creating feedstock. And that feedstock will actually be 1.5-ton bale, viscoline-wrapped bales that can be stored. And so we can create bales and have it stored, and they can be stored for a year. We won't be storing them for a year, but they can be stored and outside, and they won't be smelling or anything because it's viscoline wrapped. Then we just take those bales and re-shred them, and then they get fed into the gasification system. So we're going to be operating that process, getting the kinks worked out, and then when the biorefinery comes online, we'll have enough back storage of feedstock, so we don't have to worry about that both facilities coming online at the same time.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, we had this all worked out. We had time, 7 years to work out this process. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Any other public comment on this? Okay. Right ahead. So anyway, I have a motion on the floor. I'm calling for a second.
A quick disclosure. Lance Gilman, I am a principal of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and I'm not going to take the position of having to recuse myself on this vote, primarily because these transactions have been completed in the past, and Sierra Fulcrum Bio owns this property. And therefore, I'm qualified to vote on this special use permit.
Will that be in a second?
Second.
I'll make the second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve special use permit amendment. The motion has already been made. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Great. Okay. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. Presentation of potential applications for community development block grant funding for 2015. Ms. Nevin?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. Sherry Nevin, for the record, I come before you today again with a presentation of potential applications for community development block grant funding for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2015. We're seeking additional input today with the ideas that we will be presenting. In your packet, there was three different projects that were submitted. Since that packet was published, we have one more idea that we received late last week. I'm going to go ahead and run through one of these, and then I've got three other folks that are going to make a really quick presentation on their project. The first one that we have received would be a public facilities project for a Type 1 ambulance chassis changeover for the Lockwood Fire Department. We have an estimated cost on this project of anywhere from $115,000 to $120,000. The project is eligible based on low to moderate income in the Lockwood community per the 2012 income survey that we did out there. The Story County Fire Protection District serves the Lockwood area out of our fire station number 74 there on Canyon Way. The station is located between the Rainbow Bend subdivision and the Lockwood Trailer Park. This is a community composed predominantly of senior citizens with a small mix of younger residents. Most of these younger residents have children that go to the Hillside Elementary School. The bulk of the calls in this area are medical emergencies with quite a significant population of geriatric patients. The ambulance service in this community is greatly important. That's why we're proposing this particular project. The second project that we have is a planning set-aside project, and that would be the update to the Story County Master Plan. And I'm going to let Desi give a quick presentation on that.
So as everyone is well aware, we have been working on updating our master plan since I've been on board, and I know Austin worked on it quite a bit before that, but it hasn't been updated since 1994. So it's very important that we get it updated. But we've always said that we would be an integral part as staff with updating that, and we will continue to do that if this project gets pushed forward. But basically, we would be looking to kind of reach out to a professional firm, such as we've been in touch with a firm called Design Workshop, and I've worked with them in both Colorado and Minneapolis. So I'm well aware of the expertise of that firm. But they would just be assisting the staff with updating certain elements of the master plan, such as transportation and the housing chapter. So that could potentially be a project that would move forward. Do you have any questions with that?
The next project that we're looking at is an economic development project, and as I mentioned before when I came before you, CDBG is really focusing a lot of their efforts and funds this year into economic development projects with about a $500,000 set aside this year. So this project coming before you is for the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, and we've got Brent Farr here today with Far West Engineering that'll give a brief synopsis of what they're looking to do.
Thanks, Sherry. Yeah, they're really putting more emphasis on community development block grants that go towards economic development. And the trick there is that these projects have to demonstrate job creation. So it's hard to do in a lot of the rural areas, but in this case, I think it's going to be an easy sell. So I think we're going to be very competitive in this category with this project. As you know, with the new interest in development at the industrial center, utilities is becoming a key issue. And providing adequate utilities for future growth and also getting a handle on some of the utilities that are already there, we'd like to develop a fully functional geographical information system, a GIS program, that basically gives us a record of all of the water and sewer facilities. And storm facilities that are in the park that would also include record drawings and help us to be able to plan for the future and accommodate new developments. We'd also like to develop a comprehensive utility master plan that looks at where new tanks and wells and reservoirs need to go, as well as how we want to plan the future of the sewer effluent system. So there's quite a bit of work that needs to be done for the GID. So this, to be clear, is a project. The GID would be the recipient of this grant and not Tri-Center. So it would be a general improvement district project focusing strictly on utilities and utility planning. Any questions for me on this grant? Okay, thank you.
And just to follow up to Brent's presentation, thank you very much, Brent, for being here. This particular project would not need to fall under the low to moderate income category based on the national objective of job creation. So, you know, we can look out there and you see companies hiring 6,000. We're not going to have a problem proving job creation. The next project that we have, we received late, so it's not in your packet, is another public facilities project for the Canyon GID. This is for a lab building. You may recall this came before us last year. We submitted the application. It did not get funded. So Mitch contacted me late last week, and I asked him to come here today and give us a little synopsis of what he is proposing.
Morning, Mitch.
Mitch Andrini, manager, Canyon General Improvement District. Yes, we're just resubmitting what we had last year because we believe we need this building down there. We are low income, according to the income survey. And it's just a lab, storage, little break area combination building for $250,000. We have a new water and sewer plant that was put in 5 or 6 years ago, but that's basically all we got in. There was no building for storage or anything else. So that's what we're proposing. There is a cost avoidance because we contract out about 100% of our lab procedures now for the sewer and water, which we have certified operators to do. So we think we could bring in 15 to 20% of that cost back in with this building if we had it on site. Plus, that would save us from having to run into town all the time. And we have a location. We have all the plans. I'm sorry I'm late on this. It's the same as last year. I know we got turned down. Somebody's got to build a building, so there's a few jobs there. But anyway, that's it pretty much in a nutshell. Do you have any questions?
I'd like to compliment Mitch on a totally unrelated matter since you're up there.
Okay.
We've gotten recently, you just approved one of the Fulcrum facilities, and the second one I think is going to be coming the waste separation facility toward the first of the year. Is that correct, Desi? And water is an issue both for Fulcrum as well as a number of other businesses that actually aren't right in what we know of as Lockwood or Rainbow Bend, but they're right nearby. And Chief Hames and Austin had kind of brainstormed how we're going to provide water for all these, and it was, hey, we got a GID right there. Let's see if they were interested. And these guys were not only interested, they were ahead of the curve with us in terms of scope of service, area of service, and those types of things. So it's great, always great, when we can work as one local government with one of our peers, the Canyon GID, and I thank you very much, and your board.
Thank you. Any questions?
Do you have any questions for me?
Thanks, sure.
Thank you, Betsy.
So those are the four projects that we have had presented to us thus far. We can only apply for two. So between now and your first meeting in December, staff will work on getting a little bit more detail on these projects, seeing how they're going to move forward, and we'll come before you that first meeting in December with our recommendations for projects to submit, which applications are due in early January. So if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those today. But we will begin moving forward with what we have.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Thank you, Sherry. All right. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion only. No action, no public comment. Committee and staff reports. We will start with Mark Twain Community Center. Ron Engelbrecht, Barbara?
Ron Engelbrecht, Story County resident. Just wanted to bring you up to date on the Mark Twain Community Center. We had a reasonably successful pancake breakfast on Saturday, made a fair amount of money in the silent auction. So we're pleased at that. We have the flu shot 2 hours, 4 to 6 this afternoon for the residents down there. And the big thing is with Sherry's help, we have been blessed with 27 Navy corpsmen coming to the Mark Twain Community Center on Saturday, November 8th. So we will have fix-up projects, painting, and construction things. So we're excited about it. So if anybody wants to come down and visit our military's best, come on down from about 8, 9 o'clock on, probably for about 4 to 6 hours. The real intent, though, is to get to Virginia City and party. So anyway, thank you. I'll see you at 4, Ron.
Thank you, Ron. That's nice. Mike, do you want to go next? Mike Nevin with Public Works.
Thank you, Chairman McBride and Commissioners. Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. Just to keep you in the loop here, we have, of course, three major projects that are going on concurrently. The first, of course, being the new wastewater treatment facility here that will serve the communities of Virginia City and Gold Hill. That project is progressing nicely, with still the anticipated completion date of February 15th, of course, barring, you know, stormy weather that may hit or may not hit. So, but it is moving forward and, like I say, progressing nicely. The other project that has recently started is the re-roofing of the courthouse here. So there may be some occasional noise from time to time, but there'll be no work going on the interior of the building. Up, other than the attic, there'll be some seismic bracing going on for the parapet walls on the front and either side of the building. It'll tie that all together and as part of that whole package in the process. So hopefully the weather holds out long enough to get this project completed. The third project of major importance, of course, is the award of bid that you folks authorized at the last commission meeting for the rehabilitation of the 5 mile and divide reservoirs. The notice to proceed was issued by our office in conjunction with our engineer, Far West Engineering, last week. We had a pre-construction conference that was held, and A&K Earth Movers, of course, was a low bidder, and they should be mobilizing equipment to the sites as early as this week. So, again, depending on weather, they have a 90-day completion window for that project. So, if weather holds out, they should be out of there by about the end of December. Just some other items of interest. We recently had two of our raw water tanks that service the communities of Virginia City, Silver City, and Gold Hill cleaned. The cleaning process involves the use of divers and a diver team, and this is a Nevada-based company. It's hard to find local folks that want to do this, and they're the only Nevada-based company that offers this service in Nevada. The Marlette system utilizes these folks. They're an outfit called Blue Lockers. They did a fantastic job. They were great folks to work with, and I might make mention that the 5 mile tank hadn't been cleaned thoroughly in many, many years. It probably goes back to pre-1996 when the treatment plant was built here in town. We had a couple of feet of sediment in that tank that was successfully removed. The bullion tank above the treatment plant, which is also raw water, 1.4 million gallon capacity, had that cleaned. That tank has been up and operational for 7 years, and we only had a couple inches of sediment in that tank, but they successfully completed both these projects in a five-day work week. So, and I would make mention here now that the quality of the raw water significantly has improved. We were dealing with turbidity, and turbidity is a measurement of particles in the water prior to treatment and after treatment, of anywhere from, 2.6 to 7. Sometimes it could go up as high as a 5 point. And then it goes through the treatment process. After we did these cleanings, and also on the Marlette side, we're dealing now with turbidities as low as 0.6. So what that does in the treatment process is it allows us to run filters for longer periods of time. We were getting anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 hours at best out of a run of a treatment filter before it had to go into a flush and a backwash. And now we're getting up to 16 to plus 20, maybe 24 hours, so we're able to run a filter all day. And it reduces the cost of utilities at the treatment plant when we're able to run filters for that length of time. So it's a win-win all the way around. And just other thing I'd like to mention, a couple of items. The D Street water line extension between Union and Sutton was completed last week. We completed the paving, and that was about a three-week process down there. And what that line allows is for those buildings on the east side of C that do not currently have the luxury to install fire sprinkler systems if required, or, you know, the owner decides to do it, you know, prior to the building being sold or whatnot. That's why that line was put in, and now it's up and operational. We fired it off yesterday, so that one is completed and off our list. The other thing that we recently did, you folks authorized a name change of Portofino Avenue to Electric Avenue down at the industrial park, and all the signs that were replaced on the cross streets were done yesterday. We'll be working with MDOT to get a couple more done, one on the big reader board as you cross the rail bridge there, and then the other one on the rock sign that is right before the turnoff there, so we'll be taking a look at that. Next week we have a little mini workshop, if you will, with some of the MDOT folks regarding the potential for some funding that may or may not develop relative to some maintenance improvements that need to happen. We're going to start down in Lockwood and take a look at the exit there. I believe it's exit 22. That exit is in, you know, pretty rough condition and has been for a number of years. And it seems like it takes us pulling teeth to even get it striped. So we're going to meet with those folks and physically show them in the field what we're talking about. The other items we'll take a look at are the curb and gutter system here along C Street in town and the potential for some funding that may become available through a government program for sidewalk improvements and installing the sidewalks on the southeast section of C Street that don't currently exist. So it may tie into our little pilot project that we did last year with some of the pavers that were placed between Zephyr's Cove building and Joe Curtis's old bookstore down there where the restaurant is currently. So that's what we've been doing and kind of ramrodding and following after. So that's all I have, unless you folks have questions of me.
Any questions for Mike?
Thank you.
The rehabilitation on the two reservoirs will go concurrently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And just like to mention, go Giants.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Anything Justice Court today, Ms. Harrington? Communications, Mr. Ballard?
Nothing. Report today.
We're here for the budget.
Okay, that's fine. Ms. Chapman, everything out of the reporter's office? You're hiding something. Chief Haynes?
Nothing else on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Ms. Redmond?
Figures.
First, I just want to let the board know that I attended the APA Nevada conference in Vegas last week, and it was a really good conference. There were some lectures on medical marijuana, public outreach, and planning law. So, and I'm also now a member of the Nevada APA board and will be representing rurality communities. So That was a great conference to attend. And also, we will be doing some public outreach regarding water usage in the Highlands and in the Mark Twain Community Center communities. That will probably start in January. I'm not sure how that's going to look, but basically we're going to go to the boards and just kind of try to do some educational outreach. Bob and I are working on the utility corridor ordinance, and still trying to stay on the master plan and continue updating that. We have a ton of information. It's just getting it in the right format. And also, we did have a file come in for a home occupation in the Virginia City Highlands, so that will be on some following agenda. And staff has been working with the DA on a nuisance in Mark Twain, which you guys are all familiar in that. We've taken some steps to improve that. Now we kind of have some teeth, so we're moving forward with that. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Sherry, do you have anything else? Of course.
Just a couple of items here. We held our health fair last Saturday. Turned out pretty good, I think, for our first year. We had 26 vendors. We were a little lacking on the attendance from the community, but we're hoping that to make this an annual event, it'll kind of catch on. So save your date for November 7th of 2015. All the vendors were real happy with people that they did have come speak with them and just the networking opportunities there. So we'll be hosting a flu clinic today at the Mark Twain Community Center from 4 to 6, as Ron mentioned. So if you haven't had your flu shot, you would like it, come see us. Sean is here from Community Chest, so I'll probably let him speak a little bit more about this, but our community health nurses are now on board down at the health center, which used to be the Hawk location. They're planning a open house for November 12th, time to be announced. Sean may have that information. The new stairs and porch at the St. Mary's Art Center is coming along very nice. If you haven't seen that, it's been a great effort between county resources and the nonprofits. And also the Comstock Foundation for History. We've been doing some minor modifications to the outside of the building at the Lockwood Community Center. We built a small lean-to shed. They had a barbecue that was donated to the center, the space for that to go. They're doing some trim out around the windows, some awnings on the sides to catch snow and water runoff, and eventually paint the building. So Ron also mentioned about the Navy folks coming into Mark Twain. I think that's going to be great for their community on November 8th. They reached out to us and wanted to do a project here in our county. So I think we're very fortunate that we have 27 able bodies for a whole day to get a lot of things accomplished. So that's all I have. If anyone has any questions for me.
Great. Are you sure? Okay. Have a tourism. Denny, do you have anything for you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to apologize. I should have been a little bit late here. I should have got with Pat a couple weeks ago and got the paperwork in. What I'd like to do is ask you folks to pass a county ordinance today, an ordinance on a dress code for Friday, October 31st. Thought I'd ask. Gary over here is not going to dress up. So if our fire chief's not going to do it, then I got to pull out the big guns. So I figured, why not ask the commissioner? So if you would, that'd be great. If you don't, I understand. But we are hosting a party, a big party, Nevada's 150th celebration on Friday the 31st. Our slogan is Step Back in Time. So when folks come up here, why not have a good time and everybody get in the spirit? And most of us are off that day. Step back in time and dress up a little bit to 1864 era. So whether that's Victorian, steampunk, Civil War, or maybe even Jack from A Nightmare and Before Christmas, have some fun with it. Enjoy the day. There's a lot of things going on that day. I don't know that we can pack any more festivities in. We're dedicating the mural that's in the Bucket of Blood parking lot with the craft fair. There'll be three or four bands that will be playing, including the U.S. Navy Band. We play about a two-hour set. The stagecoach from Wells Fargo Bank will be parked out front of the Delta parking lot, and dedication to the new ATM and mural. There'll be train rides going on all day, some down to Gold Hill to the new refurbished Gold Hill Depot. We're having a unveiling of the Nine Cheers for Nevada, the way it was when they had signed us as statehood. There'll be a parade here in town. We love parades at 5:30. We're still looking for entries. I've got several. A lot of folks are doing the Carson City Parade and the Virginia City Parade. There's some big entries, but we need more. We need everybody to turn one in, whether it's still a community group or a school or a band or you name it. We'd like you guys to come and put an application in so we can organize it, and we don't have too big of a traffic bottleneck. And then it follows up with a masquerade ball. Again, celebrating the birthday party with a little bit of Halloween's mixed in there. Again, this would be a great evening for us here in Virginia City and Nevada. And then a quick things, just updates on some of our dealings in the visitor center. Patrick Gilmore went to, for the first time, we really sent him out specifically targeting small groups. This is about a 2 or 3 year campaign that we're doing. We're actually, we want to know in about a week whether we got a grant from NCOT, I believe, but we got a good chance to help us bring small meetings, small groups, weddings, reunions, whatever it is, here to Virginia City, to something that's special that they can't get, in a lot of places in the United States. He met with over 35 different group or meeting planners that are across the United States, and he got about 4 or 5 locked in for next year. So these are big groups. This is it's a big thing for us to help that Monday through Thursday business. And then finally, our VCTC also approved a landing page for townwide Wi-Fi for our visitors. So when folks come to visit, they'll be able to log in. It'll be free for 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever the timeline will be, and they'll be able to do business here in town, find a room, find a place to eat, park, what have you, do their reservations for the return flight home. But there'll be a nice thing that I don't believe there are too many towns in the United States that offer free Wi-Fi. So there's airports, there's businesses, but not towns. So something kind of cool for a town that you can step back in time. So that's all I got.
Is there a pretty good advertising campaign out there public-wise for the 31st event?
We're doing all we can, Lance. We did get a grant, and we're actually, there's been about 3 weeks of hard advertising from print to social media. I was on Channel 4 yesterday all dressed up in a Civil War costume, just again selling the whole thing. The Nevada Commission on Tourism has been pushing us. We're the only gig, the last official event of more than, I think, 400 certified events in Nevada. They were celebrating its 150th birthday this year. So the only other event going on is in Vegas on that during the day for a parade. So we should draw pretty good attention.
We were impressed. We went down to the BLM, had a wild horse auction for trained horses at down at the prison. And it's the first time they went into the Reno Gazette Journal with an ad. Mm-hmm. They had the largest turnout in their event down there. It's absolutely a packed stand only, and they were amazed at how much they drew off of that RGJ.
Yeah, we've had pretty good luck with the RGJ through our media connections there on getting, if you look at our events over the last year, we've had quite a few of them hit the front page, and I expect that something similar will happen this next week.
I found your stuff in the, when we were flying to Vegas last week. You're getting a lot of stuff in the airline magazines. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we have Southwest at a big splash, and then American Airlines, first time we've had a specific Virginia City article. Nobody else, just Virginia City, and that was off of a group that came through NCOT last year, and that article's topic was the ghost of Virginia City, and it was about 3 or 4 pages in an American Airlines publication. It's pretty good.
You're doing a great job. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
And while I was at the baggage carousel at the airport yesterday, again, you get honorable mention and, in the videos that are rolling and everything.
Yeah, we've got a good team. We're moving forward, but we need everybody to show up on the 31st. That's the last party of the year. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Denny. Next up, Community Chest Library, Sean Griffin. Morning.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry I'm late. I had another meeting I came from. So I want to extend a big invitation to everyone for our November 1st library fundraiser at Pikehurst, following all the events that Danny just spoke of. Shiloh and McAvoy Lane will be performing, and that's to continue to keep our library healthy and vital and functioning. So please come, all of you that are free and able, and spread the word. It should be a great night. While I'm on the library, three really important steps. Last time when I was here, I told you we'd serve around 300 people. Today I was wrong. It's close, almost 400 people to date have been served by the library and the two outlying branches. Chris just wrote a request to Carson Tahoe to get five computers, to put three in Lockwood and two in the new site, which is at the former Hawk site in the community center. We will be having our open house for the community center, or the library, and the nurse, a new nurse practitioner and community health outreach nurse on November 12th, 5 to 7. Sherry mentioned that date, and Chris just confirmed the time. So it's November 12th, 5 to 7. I'd really, again, like to encourage everyone to come. This is a big step for us. I don't need to tell you the difficulty getting the library reopened and finding a home for it, and also the difficulty getting our community health clinic reopened and finding a home for that. And both things have happened in a relatively short period of time. You recall Hawk pulled out during the summer, and we were sort of left holding the bag trying to figure out, A, how to fund it, and B, where to go to get funding or get personnel to staff it. So it turned out much better than we anticipated. We're not only going to have a public health nurse, we're going to have a community outreach person, a nurse. So we'll have both people working on the ground in Virginia City one day a week. You will get to meet them. And you will get to meet Ronnie Gallis, who's working with us closely from Carson City Health and Human Services. She is the nursing supervisor there, and she was formerly our subcontracted nurse at Community Chest when we ran it out of our offices. So she has a very intimate understanding of what's expected, what's needed, and particularly what they can do in this community. So they'll be partnering with every part of the county to do outreach both in the schools and for the seniors and everybody in between, and we'll be able to provide the actual treatment with the public health nurse as well. So that's a big day, November 12th, and a big day on November 1st. I'm just thrilled that both things are being born, reborn, because, trust me, they're on a fast course to going out of business. So, you know, it's a real blessing, and I thank you for your support. It's your funds, it's taxpayer funds that are funding both things, so hopefully we'll get these things on the map. I know that the library's now in both Lockwood and Mark Twain, and soon we're going to put a Dropbox in the Highlands. So things are happening, and that's what we want. Questions, comments?
That's great. Well, it's your leadership that's keeping everything going, Jonathan. We all know that. We all appreciate your hard work and your staff as well.
I got a wonderful team, so it's everybody. But thank you. Hope I can see you soon.
Very good. Thank you. From the Kenya GI, did you think report, Mitch?
No.
Other than, okay. Bum, do you have anything today?
Commissioners, Pat. When Denny got up here, started off with his apology and started talking about passing a dress attire and coat, I thought he was referring to me at first. So, now I want to apologize. I'm getting ready to do a foundation and wanted to come up here and let you know we, as soon as the election's over, we'll be chasing all the bill draft requests that'll be coming in. I expect this to be a record year on my bill draft requests, as most of the freshmen that were in the session last year, were last session, are now sophomores, and they kind of know their way around a little bit, and that generally means much more legislation that'll be going on. I've had the pleasure of meeting with Marilyn Kirkpatrick recently. She is very positive about the session. She doesn't know what the theme of it's going to be generally. You know, it's always going to be about money, and it's probably going to be a little bit more north versus south once again. I have talked with her and several other folks, including Settlemyer and Wheeler, and depending upon who wins the Attorney General election and who wins the Secretary of State election, we will hopefully be having a town hall meeting up here prior to the session starting. We're hopeful to have the governor up here, although there's not a commitment. We do have the commitment from all the others, again, depending upon who's winning. So I think that'd be a good deal for everybody as far as the county as well as all the public to get in there and meet some of the folks that you've seen on TV here recently. And then I also was up in Winnemucca during the CFOA
organization they had up there last month, and I did stop by, and we went to a function with Pard and Vanessa, and Tesla's a big, big thing, and everybody knows about it, and I didn't hear one negative thing about Tesla. And that's coming from a lot of the counties that were trying to get Tesla. You know, and we outcompeted them. So, you know, congratulations to the county on that. Again, talked with everybody that we could at CFLA, and that was the number one talking point, and not one negative criticism whatsoever. So just wanted to share that. And I will be meeting with the commissioners and trying to get bill draft requests from the county into our assemblymen and senators, and as well as to Marilyn Kirkpatrick. We have five or six that I've heard already, and we'll get those narrowed down to two or three and see what we can do this session back. So if you have any questions.
Oh, sorry. Great. Thanks, Bob.
Come see me on the BDRs when, in a day or two. I'll make sure you know of a couple that we've been working on.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Gunther, have anything to report on the River District today? Do you have anything to report on the River District today, Gunther?
Well, we did have a couple of things happen. My name is Gunther Prosser from River District Lockwood. We had a few things happen in the River District. We had a Hillside Chili get-together for the PTO, put it together, and the kids raised about $1,000 in donations for them to go to the pumpkin patch. So that turned out really well. And we have a resident down in the Lockwood area who's called Grandma Carol, and it was her 80th birthday. They had a big party at the Senior Center, and that turned out well. And I'm glad to see that Lockwood, Mark Twain, and the outlying areas are starting to progress, and it's getting to be real exciting to see that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor. Sheriff Montanaro?
All right.
Mr. District Attorney?
Well, the good news for the Texas A&M football team is we have a bye week this week, even though some of us think they took last week off, too. Other than that, I've been missing on Tesla.
Is that bye as in bipolar?
Something. I don't know what happened. Second worst loss ever in Texas A&M history, playing football since the 1890s.
I don't know what happened.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah, there's your problem. I'm going to let Gary use my Texas A&M sweatshirt like I've added it.
Assistant DA Langer?
It's not about Texas A&M.
Chairman Ann Langer, Story County Deputy District Attorney. Just wanted to let everybody know that this is Domestic Violence Month, Awareness Month. You'll see the purple ribbons around town. Our focus this year is going to be on the high school kids. We're going to do a presentation with the Sheriff's Office and Community Chest to talk to the kids about dating and potential violence. Also, what we're trying to do with Story County that is becoming part of a pilot program is to try to look for intervention or prevention of domestic violence before it gets to the level that people get arrested. So we're trying to get the educational programs out there, the awareness out there, and that's starting with the purple ribbons around town and the presentation at the high school that'll be at the end of the month. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Langer. Special counsel, Mr. Willis. Clerk's office.
All right. Early voting's underway. It started last Saturday. We've had just over 200 people show up to vote so far. So a slow start, but it tends to pick up the last week. Last Friday, we had a tax sale. And I want to thank Bob and the DA's office for all their help in putting on the auction for us. It was quite the undertaking. Of the five parcels that we had up for auction, two of them sold. One of them, we brought in excess proceeds of just over $18,000, and on the other, $179,000. So,
wow.
And that doesn't include, you know, we got all of our back taxes and fees paid. So I think it was a pretty good success, and we'll do another one again here shortly. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Out of the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Danny, that uniform you were wearing, of which side? Which side? Yeah. God. On the 9th of this month, Commissioner Shovagin and I had a meeting with the V&T Rail Commission. I just wanted to update you as to the extent of that meeting and what we are going to do transpiring afterwards. The discussion was primarily about the amount that the Virginia City Rail Commission owes back to Story County. The participants were pretty much everybody from the VC Rail Commission, Commissioner Shovagin and myself, and the Department of Taxation. There was also a discussion about our interlocal agreement that was effective July 1st, 2010, and whether or not we should make a new agreement effective at some future date. What is in contention now is during the current contract that we are in is the operational expenses and track maintenance that was performed by the V&T Rail Commission using the funds that Virginia City gave to them due to the election on the extending of the quarter cent sales tax. There's also a discussion about whether or not they were to advise Story County in writing as to their need for such expenses as it applied to the amount of revenues they were receiving in one particular month. If they were not, if there was not enough revenue to support their expenses, there was supposed to be a written document asking Story County to go ahead and release those funds to them so they could operate. That was never done. So that discussion went forward, and with your permission, what I would like to do is conduct an audit of all of their internal financial statements from January 1st, 2010 to the present. This will give us the ability to tell them once and for all by the current contract what we think they owe us back. And at that point in time, and only that point in time, when we get that agreement, will we decide then to go forward with another interlocal agreement if it is to our advantage. Soon to be District Attorney Ann Langer and I she's looking at all the documents that apply to this. I think this is a good first step to say this is where we're at. We're going to finish this thing before we go forward with any new documentation. So I just wanted to make the Commission aware of that. And thank Commissioner Shovagin for keeping this on the front burner because it's well needed, and we'll get it done. Secondly, with Denny's comment about Wells Fargo being here on next Friday with the coach and the horses and whatever, I have a communique from their Director of Government Services, is Pat Foley. And he wrote me and he said, I would like to schedule time about setting a date for Wells Fargo to meeting with the residents and businesses of Virginia City to discuss banking opportunities. I coordinated this with our banking team and our retail team from the Galena branch to set a time to be in Virginia City to see how we can support their needs. We would like to have this done before the ribbon cutting on Nevada Day, and the use of this date in a full celebration of Nevada and Wells Fargo's return to Virginia City. I don't know if we can get this done within a week, but maybe we can sit down, maybe today, get with Angela to get something in there so we can get a venue that maybe Thursday or Friday of next week. We can find a venue to do that. I think it's a great opportunity for the residents of Virginia City and Story County, and also the businesses that are related to the ATM, to just see how much Wells Fargo can affect their business and how they can move forward. So we'll get this done after the meeting today, hopefully. Thanks, Danny. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. County Manager, Pat Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, we'll probably get out of this meeting in record time because even though Mike was here, Dean is not. Dean is actually doing yet another showroom tour out at the Industrial Park, and they are now happening daily and oftentimes more often than daily. I understand somebody needs to leave here early afternoon to extend a tour himself to someone. So. Everything is definitely very busy, which is good. We have added staff. We said we would carefully add when necessary. Some time ago, probably 3 months ago, I believe, we knew we needed to add in our fire inspection and life safety side of the house. We had never replaced when the battalion chief left us several years before that. And this seemed like the opportune time. So we hired a young man by the name of Fritz Klinger. And Fritz came in with absolutely no certifications, as I recall. He has just this week completed his third and final required certification to be a fully certified dual plans inspector. So it tells you the quality of the people that want to join the Story County team, and I'm proud of Fritz. And he's already making substantial differences, both at the negotiating tables and even after deals are negotiated, and making sure that the fire side of the house is explained, monitored, and supported in a business-friendly fashion. On the building side, just this past week, we also determined that two building inspectors and one admin person was probably going to collapse on itself pretty soon. Dean was working 27-hour days, I think, and Shannon was close behind him. So we went ahead and hired a gentleman who used to work in Plumas County, California, until Plumas County shut down its entire building function during the recession. His name is Chris Hood. He's a very sharp study. He'll have some certifications to pick up along the way as well as far as refreshing, but Chris is already out in the field, so look for him. I challenge anybody out there to join me right after this meeting. If you haven't done so already, I'm going to take about 20 steps into the clerk's office and vote. There's no better time than today to go ahead and exercise that right and vote. And lastly, we try to stay out of the political wars, if you will, and on the local basis properly. So I do want to extend an invitation. I just got texted to me earlier this morning for an event that goes on Thursday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Peppermill. And this is for a lady that is a tremendous friend of our county and of our region, Bonnie Weber. Bonnie Weber is running for Reno City Council, and I'm excited about it. I'm not giving her a political support at this meeting, but I'm excited because Bonnie has been highly instrumental in proving that regional partners are what's important. We have a great regional relationship with Canyon GID, certainly with others, Rob Slaby and our school district board. And I think it's even more important when you extend that out almost on a peer-to-peer basis. We could not have accomplished many things that we have accomplished without Bonnie's leadership on the Washoe County Commission. The 600 acres that we acquired in the boundary line adjustment was principally because of her leadership and others. Also, I'll be very blunt about this. When Marshall and I were back in in Washington, D.C., I believe it was last March. We had a very small list of favors we could ask Senator Reid for. It was Bonnie's leadership again that said, how about asking him to call Elon Musk? So that's a little small component as to how things like Tesla happen. So Bonnie's going to be at Peppermill from 4 to 6 this coming Thursday. And oddly enough, for the person running for campaign office, she's not asking for money. She's just asking for her friends to come. And I think it's hugely important that Story County shows support, because we've had those inroads with Washoe County. We've had those inroads with Douglas County, with Carson City. The city of Reno has always been a little bit different animal to slice. And I think somebody like Bonnie's leadership in there is going to make things happen, like what this commission approved last meeting for a resolution of support for the treated effluent water that's needed, because that is Reno's water in large part, and Bonnie will help make that happen. So if you're free 4 to 6, there's usually some free drinks and some good finger food. That's it.
Thank you. Is everything for Pat? Billy? Okay, next up, item number 13, discussion only, no action, no public comment. This is a quarterly financial updates for fiscal year 2014-2015. Mr. Gallagher, is this your lead?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. this is, as promised to especially Commissioner Gilman, which we were fairly late in having this last year. We kicked the external auditors out of here early enough so we could at least have something at least in a month, so we can take a look at where we are in relation to the first quarter of this fiscal year. This process is an invaluable tool, not only to the departments themselves, but also to my office. We had a little glitch this year. The first submission to our department heads was inaccurate. There was an error in there, and the error was had concerns concerned with the crude payroll. We are the only county in this state that does this type of process, I'm pretty sure. We are also the only county that takes a payroll and tries to match that to the exact month in which it is. Now, as you know, there are payroll periods that extend into future periods, and so therefore there needs to be an adjustment back in to the current period for those payments in future periods that are attributed to that current month. What happened is since even our third-party administrator, ADS, somewhere along the line, an entry got put in twice with no trail back to us. It was found by Jesse Fain on the first submission, who said, this can't be right. We looked at it. It wasn't right. We resubmitted, and so this is an exercise not only into where we're going, but also from my office to make things better in the future. Where we have, what we have here, how we'll commence with this is that I will start primarily with the revenues from the general fund. We will go through each department as our parameters were anything that was 10% or 15% plus or minus over or under their budget on any revenue item or any expense item. We would like to have an explanation from the department head or the various fund. All the funds, the special revenue funds that are not operating funds, I feel that are in pretty good condition. If anybody needs to at least comment on that, certainly go ahead. So I will start with the general revenue fund. Ad valorem we are right now, we're sitting at 25% of our budget year, which is the ended September 30th of this year. Our ad valorem is sitting at 45%. There's a reason for that. Number one, there are those people and businesses that pay annually for that, and so, and also there are probably those people who pay early for their second quarter. Conversely, ad valorem for personal property is only 10% of where we want to be, and that usually is concerned with the billings that are happening. This follows a trend that we had last year, where that by the end of the third quarter, all the billings are in, and we're pretty much where we are as far as what is budget. We're having a tough time trying to budget by quarter for personal property tax. Again, centrally assessed is only 6% of what we're budgeting right now, because there is a large payment that usually comes in that third quarter, calculated by the Department of Taxation, that then gives us what we have, at least that amount close to what we've budgeted. Again, gaming licenses for both county and state depend upon when those licenses are coming about. Those again are a little delayed because of state and sometimes our quarterly things for the state. So I think we have as many establishments, where we haven't gotten rid of any, so at least that's a little low, but we'll catch up. Federal grants are up, and that's normally that figure accounts for a lot of federal grants that we get. This one in particular is reimbursement for what we have for our emergency manager, Joe Curtis. They take part of his salary, which we greatly appreciate. District court fees are, in talking to our clerk treasurer, are increased record searches and record filings. So things are getting busy. And last but not least, an indicator of how we are doing, not only in Northern Nevada, but also out in the industrial park, is import tonnage fees. They're up about 37% where they normally should be from what we think we have budgeted, which is kind of an indication of as to where we may be going this year. And hopefully, because of construction and things of that nature, there's a lot more business with waste management.
Can I jump on one?
Absolutely.
Also, I like the way Hugh points out the positives as well as the problems or challenges. And in looking at the report he sent, the one I want to point out, lest anybody raise their eyebrows, that we hired one building inspector. In building permits, which we never know what we're going to get in a given year, and they typically come in fairly stable across the line, we budgeted $250,000. We have collected, just in the first quarter alone, $201,000, or 80% of our bogies. So it kind of, and that's not a lot of Tesla. That's a lot of stuff. So,
well, we can also expect these tonnage fees to go in the opposite direction when Fulcrum again comes up in operation, because they're not going to be depositing that much garbage at the dump, because it's going to be going through the processing facility.
You're correct.
And we turn into jet fuel.
So my next department up is the commissioners in the administrative department.
So this is me?
That's you.
Okay. I have four items that are a little problematic, but not large. In the commissioner side, our dues and subscriptions are over. We budgeted $500. We've spent $603. These are typically, you know, joining a couple of various groups, the International County Managers Association, a few others, and I think a subscription to one or both of the local papers. The big one on here, the reason why we are over, is when we set this budget last year, or earlier this year, excuse me, we did not anticipate a special session of the legislature. The Legislative Council Bureau says that anybody being paid by any entity that is in the legislative halls during the session to advocate for a project or a bill is required to register as a paid lobbyist. I know in the past the chat room has raised its eyebrows as to why I would be a paid lobbyist, but when I'm in there advocating, as I was for the special session, I had to register with the LCB. The good news is LCB is trying to get that to also apply to the 2014 regular session as well, so that will be a one-time expense, hopefully. So that one's over. Moving to administrative, our Social Security is over and will continue to be an issue throughout the year. We're currently at 66% expended. The reason for that, and hopefully it'll work its way out in the wash, is we have budgeted to hire one full-time person where we would be paying PERS on them. We've opted to hire a combination of less than full-time, where we don't have medical benefits or anything inclusive of PERS, but we do have to pay Social Security on them, and the amounts are small. We budgeted $325, and we've spent $217. Our records management will be, you'll be hearing from me quarterly on this because we budgeted nothing. We used to pay that out of miscellaneous, and between you and Jesse, they've opted to come up with a separate line item for us. So we budgeted zero, and currently to date, we spent $130. That is typically, we use Iron Mountain, I believe is the name of the company, Dave, that comes in for our trash, as well as the justice and district courts and the dispatch centers, and they come in and they shred our documents. So small amount, but definitely well over budget since we didn't budget. And the big one probably is legal printing. We budgeted $3,000, and this is something that I'd like to say is within my control, but I blame Vanessa. Every time you guys pass an ordinance, it has to be codified, it has to be put into proper format and everything, and then it has to be printed and published and all that stuff. So we're $991, almost $992 over budget. We're 133% spent, but the good news is from here on out, I understand we're going digital, so we'll be killing less trees and spending less money to do so. That's my four.
Thank you, Pat. Vanessa?
I have two items that Hugh asked me to address. The first one was our overtime. We didn't budget for any. We do have a little bit as a result of the election for early voting. That'll get moved over to election expenses, so that'll balance out. And the other one is record management. Due to a DPS audit, we had to move all of our records from off-site that had any criminal history and move them to Carson City. So there was a fee to have those scanned and to have them transported over. So that should be the end of it for the year. That's it.
Jen?
Good afternoon. All right, we've got a couple here that were massively under and some that are pretty well over as well. Most of this is due to the time of the year that it hits. Sometimes these are year-long contracts. Sometimes they hit in the beginning portion of the year, and sometimes we won't see them until March, April, May. Specifically, we have got travel. We're about 10% over there. That's going to balance out over the fiscal year. Equipment maintenance, these are the contracts that I'm talking about. We pay them early, and so by the end of the fiscal year, those all balance out. Training, that's about 35%. A lot of the training, that's paid for ahead of time. And restoration. Restoration preservation, that's kind of that new account that was broken out. Most of that money is gone, and that's due to the preservation assessment we had and the final restoration of the Gold Hill map. So that's expected, and that's the fund. So that's what it's for. But don't anticipate very many more expenses there. We've done most of the stuff already in-house. So any other questions?
Commissioners, if I can, too, and I certainly appreciate this commission's interest in the individual line items, but I also want to remind everybody that keeping your eye on the bottom line, both as individual departments and collectively, which is what Hugh and Jesse do, is important. So all four of the budgets that have been discussed, the commissioner's budget, when you look at an individual line item being over 120%, that's one thing. The total commission budget to date is 23% compared to 25. For administrative, and this is the big one because typically we pay a lot of big money out of this account, we're at 21% versus 25. For Vanessa, she's at 24% versus 25. And Jen, as she's mentioned, for good reason, has a few front-end loaded costs, but she's only at 27% overall. So we're really tracking very well to that 25% number most of the time.
Thank you.
Hey, Jen.
Mr. Chairman, I will take the assessors. The assessor has some hearing deficiencies, has been trying to clear those up. But anyway, she has got some longevity. It looks at 51%. That is an incorrect number. This is again a question. That's a problem that we've got in the controller's office. We've got to rectify because we had in a lot of systems. If we put regular time into a payroll system, it automatically fills in what the account number is. In this particular instance, it didn't. It gave us the wrong account number. We have to correct that with our ADS third-party administrator. So that will be corrected. It actually is salaries, which makes everything okay. Their gas and diesel, there is a little bit extra expense because she was running two vehicles at the same time. And this is in coordination with capital outlay of about $30,000, which is a new vehicle for the assessor's office. It is a four-wheel drive that allows her access into areas so she can assess the valuation of those particular properties. The vehicle that she had was then transferred to another department. And there's still some a little accounting to go on to figure out who owes who in the dynamics of that transaction. So although that she's at 29% of her budget right now in and appropriated for 5% for the year, the budget will catch up on this. So I think she's in pretty good shape. Michael, you want to come up with all of yours?
Sure. Buildings and grounds, we'll start there. Hugh had highlighted a couple here that the building maintenance at 39, as you recall, we had to purchase a new air conditioner unit for the downstairs of the courthouse in the first quarter, so that hit was 2,400 of that. Otherwise, we'd be pretty much on target there. The other one of significant importance is the 125% for the North County building. That's the Tri-facility, the McCarran building, and that's primarily due to the fact that the overhead door that was budgeted for on the east side of the building that allows us access into the area where we have plenty of storage for general government as well as public works. That was completed all at the same time, and that was about $13,384. The other big one there is we had an opportunity to do some tenant improvements down there. Relative to possibility of some lease rental agreements with some of the companies coming in, and particularly IntelliSource, Zoo Lily. So with county manager's authorization, that's where the other expense occurred in the North County complex up there. There'll be a little bit more. That project is pretty much done. If you haven't been out there to take a look-see to see what we've done, please do so. We've added two additional offices. One has availability to do some conferencing and has a large conference table, and then two workstations on either side of that. The other office that was completed is for Stampede Construction. We have a rental lease agreement with them, and so that portion was completed as well, as well as a dividing wall that allows us to block off the storage from the public section of that south side of the building out there. Moving along into service, one item there is the fuel, the gas diesel, and this is the pass-through account that all the fuel purchase, both at Lockwood and Virginia City, is funneled through, and then they GL it back to the individual departments as Hugh gets around to doing that. So you'll see it at 51%, but that's normal. Moving into roads, let's see, no, am I in roads? Yeah, I'm in roads. Operating supplies, you'll see that at 40. We were authorized outside of the budgeted dollars to install a security surveillance system in the public works building up there. The cost for that was divided between roads, shop, water, and sewer. So the portion that roads paid is included in that 40% there. We're still under budget. In roads, we were 25% of the year, and our expenditures are only tracking at 13. The other one was medical physicals, and they're pretty much completed, so that's why that's at 87%. Let's see. Revenue tracking in water is currently at 28%, so a little bit over there. On the expense side, operating supplies, primarily you'll notice we're tracking at 62%. The big one there is the D Street water line extension. We've to date expended $14,601.14, but what it doesn't show there is we collected the fees for that extension from those property owners that were a benefit there, the $13,950. So that once we move that revenue back against that expenditure, that'll take it way back down. The other one there was, of course, the camera system that I mentioned, the portion of water that paid that, that was $2,000. So with those out of there, we're only running expense of about $650. The other one is in professional services, and these are payments that are due annually for both our map optics system through Far West Engineering and the Douglas County GIS portion that we pay out of water and sewer, and those payments are on an annual basis. Moving into Virginia sewer, again, professional services at 98%, and those are one-time billed annually, so that's pretty much finishes that budget out for the remainder of the fiscal year. Any questions?
You mean the Story County Water and Sewer System?
You better have them change the terminology in the budget process next year, because they still refer to it as the Virginia Divide Sewer District.
What are we going to change it to, man?
Story County Water and Sewer District. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Chair?
Just a few things. Of course, overtime is up. That's one of those things that happened, one, because we waited to hire anybody until the contract was completed. We were negotiating contract up until September. And, of course, now the biggest chunk of the event season is behind us. So with the augmentation for the delayed hiring contract issues that happened, we should track just fine on overtime for the rest of the year. Equipment maintenance was one of them, was it not here?
Yeah.
One of those were, or two parts to that. One was an unanticipated failure of a piece of equipment at the gas pump that we had to pay a share of, and then the other was another part of that, some $300-some-odd was attributed to the wrong account. So once that's moved, then it'll be fine, and hopefully if nothing else breaks that we don't know about, we'll be all right. For professional services is the big one. That is a missed billing. That included the forensic services contract for Washoe County, which is an annual payment that actually is supposed to come out of laboratory fees. And I've discussed that with Mr. Gallagher, and that should be rectified so that professional services will be fine. And then I say the contract is a one-time shot, so there's no other payments coming out of that during the fiscal year. Computer equipment was one other one. It was a one-time shot to replace the majority of our computers so that it would still remain compatible with the system. And the last thing was physical exams, and there again, that's a one-time shot. We've completed those for the year, so we shouldn't have any more expenditures on that, with the exception of if we wind up having to hire somebody during the year, but there's sufficient resources left to cover it. I think we're tracking about the 23% mark, Pat? Overall.
21.
21%. So. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, we've got, and I agree with the Sheriff, we've got a couple of things that are still outstanding at this point in time as far as his overtime and regular time are concerned. At the request of those people that were doing the collective bargaining, we wanted to freeze the hirings and also not go on to a 10-hour schedule until such time as the collective bargaining was agreement was signed. I'm going to consent that we augment that portion that is attributed to that, since he could not hire those people. That part of that overtime and also the overtime that applies to the 7K exemption for the 12-hour people, augment that back into there so his budget will be whole. I'm also going forward, I want to, there could be some potential landmines and shortfalls. Because we still have to retroactively calculate the salaries and overtimes from July 1st to the signing for all of those individuals that were in the collective bargaining group. We do not know what that number is right now. And at this present time, We are still on a 12-hour shift. Our budget was done on a 10-hour shift. We signed the budget, or signed the collective bargaining agreement on September 2nd, but as of yet, we have not gotten off the 12-hour. Once we get off the 12-hour onto the 10-hour, that should probably bring everything back into fold. But we will continue to take a look at this, and we will see what happens with when we're on the half-year mark. If we're still in that type of situation, we need to take a look at it before we get to the third quarter, because by the time we get to the third quarter, there's probably not a whole lot we can do about it. So we'll take a look at, we'll keep monitoring this, keep monitoring the overtime. The going to the 10-hour schedule should be it's more flexible to the sheriff. So hopefully when that gets done, we'll be in pretty good shape by the calendar year end anyway. Community development, that was Mr. Haymore. Mr. Haymore's not here anymore, or not here today, not anymore. There is obviously all the business license increase that we've got with on our revenue side certainly is attributed to the fact that his staff requirements require that. The reason that we can get business licenses and permits and everything out on a very fast track compared to those places that it takes 9 months is because his dedicated staff sometimes has to put in the overtime to do it. We have pretty much going to rectify that with a part-time person in there, so he has assured me that for the most part, that will pretty much go by the wayside. We didn't budget anything for it because, of course, we don't anticipate things like this happening, but that's pretty much what happened with that. The other thing is computer equipment. It's like anything. It's when the equipment gets old or there's any updates, planned obsolescence is there. It costs a little bit more than we anticipated. But I think that's out of the way, and going forward, there will probably not any more expense. He's at 23% of his total, of his budget now. Looking at that, I think he's in very good shape.
Before we move on that one, too, I will warn you, coming into subsequent quarters now with Chris on board, the salaries will be out of whack. They are at 23% right now, so essentially right on target without Chris. So there will need to be an augmentation sometime during the year to provide for that.
And that's the great point about this. Sometimes when we are doing this thing in March and April, we have no idea what's going to happen in August and September. I mean, so a great part of this exercise is now we know about it. It's not something that was just, you know, we didn't think about then because we didn't know about it. So this is the great part of all of this process, because now we know that we have to do this. This is going to be an ongoing budgetary item, but we know that we can and we will have, because of the higher than anticipated revenues that probably are going to come from the business license section because of all of these that this extra person is going to do, that we'll have more than enough money to cover it. That's a good question. Thank you, Pat. Mr. Maddox, I don't think has anything. He's golden, as always.
His postage is out of whack.
Well, with the exception, the only thing out of whack is his football team. But that's okay.
I think there's one item, the records management, that I was unaware of the expenses for. And I don't know where the expenses were being paid from before, but I guess I have about a $400 records management expenditure this year, and we share a shredding bin with the sheriff, and I guess we pay one quarter of that, and that should be under records management, which I didn't budget anything for. So, but our sharp controller must have caught that and So now I'm going to have to either ask for an augmentation or transfer something from somewhere else to pay that $400 in surety fees.
$400 is going to
Mrs. Peace, really mess us up.
Good morning, Commissioners, Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington here. There's a couple items that look out of, I guess out of whack would be the term, but on travel it says we're at 62%, but that's that was reimbursed in July, and it was a travel expense right at the end of June, so I guess it didn't get... There was something that we needed to adjust, so basically we're at zero on travel for this quarter. And on training, this, we're waiting for reimbursement from the state. So on training, we're actually not over. On training for this quarter, we've only spent about $60. So those are the only two items that needed to be adjusted. And on furniture, one of my clerks... chair broke, so we had to buy a chair. And that's where we're at. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, a lot of times when we have these things where there's going to be reimbursements, I'm not a... Our outside auditors have discouraged us from taking reimbursements and putting it into a line item expense account because they think that there should be a path that revenues are recognized as revenues and expenses are expensed as expenses. So consequently, the reimbursement for Justice Peace Harrington's travel and whatever coming from somewhere else will be in the general account. It will get there, but it will not be a negative into a expense account, which trying to be consistent with this, I think, is we've always been that way, and so as long as we can explain it, that will suffice. Thank you. Thanks. Next is community service.
Thank you, Sherry Nevin, Community Services. Just running down the line items here, it appears that the overall line item is well within budget. There's one item that is over, and that is travel. CDBG requires us to travel all over the state, so most of that travel happens between July and September. So we get hit pretty hard the first few months of the budget. That should pretty well level out throughout the year. We may have a few more expenses that take that a little bit over. The only other item that I notice was significant, not really significant, but is over a little bit, is the North County Senior Meals budget. Basically, what happens with this is we have a contract with Washoe County for the meals. They charge us monthly, but we receive reimbursement back from them as well. So whatever is collected from the seniors there for their meals goes to Washoe County, then they reimburse us. So that usually comes in after we pay out the invoice, then we get our money back. So... those were the only two items that I noticed needed discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard?
Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. I'm going to go ahead and address the gorilla on the page right away, and that's the overtime. When we set up our overtime this year, we slashed the initial amount that we thought we were going to need, and we were going to use some of the part-time employees to help cover these hours. We knew there'd have to be a little bit of training in there to get them up and running, but about a week or two before the budget went into place, one of the dispatchers, the full-time dispatchers, resigned, kind of a blindside. So that kind of threw us for a little tailspin right there. Going into summer, I had to move someone to graveyard, which left one of the day shifts open. So I had to pay some overtime to get that covered. Between that and vacations and sick leave and everything else that kind of fell in there, it buried me real quick. We're fully staffed now, and we're starting to cut back some of the overtime. So there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be over this year, but I think we got it somewhat under control. We stopped the bleeding already on that. Going down, the overall budget's at 27%. The rent, leases, and purchases shows us at 35%. And I just paid the state of Nevada about a $2,000 or $2,500 rent for a yearly thing, so that's why it's up a little bit high. Communications is the same way. I just had a bunch of bills come in at the same time that are kind of quarterly that fell in right before that. Computer software is at 79%. That was, I had to purchase some software, and I made that purchase probably July 2nd. I jumped right on that, so I'm done with that one. Same with the capital outlay. The dispatch chairs, they were old, expensive, and I needed to replace them as soon as possible, so that was done probably July 2nd, too. So that one's done as well. And the 911 service is just the phone, monthly phone services. We paid a little up in front of that because the new system, we weren't quite ready to put it in yet, so we're kind of waiting, so I had to pay some back service. I had to pay for some, I guess, warranty service for the current system until we get the new one in. So that's where I'm at. If anybody has any questions.
Mr. Chairman, we had when we were doing the budget sessions last year, obviously you don't anticipate losing a full-time person right off the bat to retirement just before you start the oncoming fiscal year. But Dave's been one of those people, like a lot of our department heads, that if the work needs to get done, he's going to do it. He sacrifices a lot of his time because of that. Trying to go forward and trying to fill with part-time people, and also with people from Story County, from the immediate area that we've always been trying to do. There's obviously training in that. Sometimes there's a few glitches in that, but he's done a pretty much a remarkable job of what's happening. These train wrecks kind of happen from time to time, but it's certainly not for the effort of Dave Ballard, that's for sure. Mr. Dean's not here today. I will take his budget. Office supplies are up 49%, although he's budgeted his budget's $300. He's used $149. Sometimes you're going to need that through the year. We'll monitor that to see what happens, although it's a very small amount. The computer software is the last payment of a three-year Microsoft contract. There are no future payments expected, which means that the budget will catch up, and we will own the software at this point in time. So there will be no future fiscal payments that are going on with that. Two is that through deliberations with Mike Nedman on the camera system, those negotiations, Mike probably tried to get a little money and did out of them, as we normally do, for the camera system that's now at Public Works. He's at 24% right now. I think he's tracking well. We'll continue to monitor the rest of the stuff. My department has two areas. One is training. It's up 34%. That should even out, because what we are presently doing is Jennifer McCain is going through an AA program, which we are reimbursing her for classes that she has taken. It is the requirement that she has a B average in those classes, which she is maintaining. And the other thing is there is a public employees retirement system conference in Reno. This tells us what PERS is going to charge us next year, because the rate's going to go up, but there's some, it's some valuable information. There's a conference this next month, which Jennifer and I are both going to attend. And also there is professional services, which $3,600 of that is to an individual by the name of Tom Gransbury, which we have discussed before, a retired person from Department of Taxation, who has an invaluable wealth of knowledge as it applies to the Department of Taxation, and is currently on several projects, none of which will be, or some of which will be, the audit of our franchise fees, which are AT&T, Verizon, Sierra Pacific Power, to make sure that our residents in the Highlands, Lockwood, Mark Twain, that their bills, they are being charged the right amount, number one, and number two, it is going to the correct county. As you know, we do not have a separate zip code for any of these locations, and so as with sales tax and the rest of the other things, the Department of Taxation relies on zip code and not common sense, and consequently Horsha County or Lyon County may get some of that, so we are doing with it. We are doing that. We are also spending about, have spent about $2,500 to a firm called Mahoney & Associates, which is going to do a cost allocation project for us, which will be very useful in future needs as it applies to business licenses, permits, and actually giving the county an understanding of what central administrative services are now going to be allocated to the various funds or separate local governments. I do not see that may continue in the future, but again, we didn't anticipate this in March. We will hopefully have enough money to augment that, hopefully in April. And I think from there, I don't see anybody from planning here, but
I can cover planning.
Okay.
Let me just one. Austin's a little bit over in his PERS, and honestly, while I said I could cover it, I can't think of a reason why we'd be over unless it would be the accrual that you referred to earlier. Office supplies, again, were pretty much a front-end loaded. We budgeted $1,000 over the entire year, and we spent $379, so we're at 37%. That'll even out by the end of the year. And rents, leases, and purchases, I'll have to get back to you on explaining that, because I honestly don't know. Oftentimes we will get certain services. Do you have an answer from him? Or? Okay. It again will even itself out through the year. We budgeted $2,000. We've spent $1,300. And if we need more help in this area, as you heard Sherry mention, we're looking at CDBG grant funding possibly for the master plan. And as Hugh has said on a few others, we'll continue to monitor a couple of these light items and augment and adjust if necessary. So, because planning has been very busy with parcel maps and moving some stuff around.
But still tracking at only 22%.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Oh. Right. Still well under his budget.
Right. And overall, Mr. Chairman, the general fund has expended at this point in time 22% of the, which I think is great. So we are, you know, from the budget standpoint, you know, of the $13 million that we have budgeted in expenditures for the general fund, we've expended about three, which takes us to the 22% figure. We are 21% in on our revenue side, and that's not taking into consideration all of the things with centrally assessed and personal property tax that we're probably going to receive in March and April of next year. So I think we're doing very well on the general fund. And I think that the last one that we receive now is, Chief, ready?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. I'm actually happy to report that I don't have very many to cover this year. This time last year, I think we'd have been here for about 4 or 5 hours. So I'll try to keep this quick and to the point. On our revenue side, we're a little bit under projected revenues under special event fees. That's a pass-through fee, basically, on the revenue side and expense side. So if we have a special event, such as the Ferrari races recently, we have those expenses up front, and then the revenue comes back in. And we are a little bit under that, but we just received their check. Alicia told me, I think, yesterday. So that evened itself out. It doesn't show on this report, but it is at an even status quo now. Ambulance program, the bulk of those fees are paid in the fourth quarter, so we're always going to be, there won't be any really revenue associated with that line item revenue account until the end of the fourth quarter. That's the annual subscription fees that we open up at the fourth quarter. The last thing is that it looks like we're under for our fire billings, and that's generally only because we haven't done any transfers. We're right on target for those. I shouldn't say that. We're a little bit low from target, but I think that that will probably make itself up in spring for fire assignments. So that's our revenue side. Are there any questions on the revenue side, shortages? Okay. On the expense side, it seems like a common theme, and ours is no different. Vacations or overtime is directly attributed to probably three areas. One is we have the intermittent wildland firefighters. They started on July 1st of this fiscal year. They ended roughly September-ish. Some of them stayed on a little bit longer than others. But all that overtime has ended for the year now, and that was like lightning staffing that we hold them over for. If they were on a call already, we had to pay them overtime, obviously. We couldn't release them from the call. The second part of that overtime overage is vacations. Generally speaking, staff wants to take vacations over summertime, and that will drop down over wintertime and level itself out. And the third one's kind of an interesting thing. I was curious on this one. The CDC's come out with some recommendations on not working if you have had a fever within 24 hours in healthcare. So our guys, we've been trying to monitor that and not let them work if they've had a fever. It goes both directions. One, they're susceptible to any kind of flus or viruses that are going around. And vice versa, our patients are susceptible if they've had a fever within 24 hours. So we haven't been allowing them to work if they've had a fever within 24 hours. A little bit of an impact, but not as much as I thought it might be. So those are the three areas of overtime that we're, or the three reasons that we're over in overtime. Social Security, we're over. The only personnel that receive Social Security are the intermittent wildland firefighters. Again, they work the first 3 months of the fiscal year. They've been not scheduled for any additional hours, so that will level itself out. I'm not concerned about that area. Dues and subscriptions, they always want it in the first quarter of the new fiscal year, so that will level itself out as well. Equipment maintenance, that particular line item is over, and we can point the finger directly to one item, and that was the water treatment system out in the Virginia Highland Station. It completely failed. It cost us right around $1,400 to repair that, and we don't have a choice with that. It was unanticipated. We'll try to make it work and balance out throughout the fiscal year, but that may be a line item that we're over for the whole year. That's a potable water treatment at the facility. It serves that residence as well as the station, and we're just stuck with it. It was completely unanticipated. The next item is training. Training's a little interesting. Try to be politically correct here. We had a little bit of butting of heads with the state EMS agency that oversees our ambulance programs. The 30,000-foot discussion on this is there was a standard set in 1985 for EMT intermediates. That standard changed in 2000. They gave us till this fiscal year to get it done, our calendar year to get it done, so December 31st, 2014. When we budgeted, we knew that and we were aware of it, and we budgeted appropriately. but we only budgeted those folks that had taken that training 5 years or longer ago. What they've come out and said now is it doesn't matter when you've taken that training, you still have to take this bridger program. As well as saying that not only do intermediates have to do it, so do all of our paramedics. Well, we didn't budget for paramedics. We butted heads with them. They're the authority having jurisdiction. We lost. So we're paying for those costs, and we'll make that out through the year somehow by cutting some other training courses or figuring that out. But we are at 50% of our training budget for the year. The second part of that is we had to send a new employee, Fritz Klingler, I think County Manager Witten mentioned him, to some certification trainings. So some of that revenue is going to be unanticipated through additional plan review fees, and that will offset the cost of his training throughout the year. And the last thing is I'm not a computer guy, but I guess XP is old school and it won't be supported anymore, according to our IT gurus. So we've had to update our XP to, I want to say 2014. We were aware of this. We had to do it. It wouldn't, anything that had XP on it couldn't stay on the server system any longer. So James had to do this right away in this new fiscal year. The other portion of that is we have a contract for services for all of our incident reporting, the Firehouse software, and we had to pay that in the first quarter. So that's it. If there aren't any questions, I'll sit down.
And I might point out on Chief Haynes' budget, again, the positives, inspection fees, which would include plan review fees, we budgeted $80,000. We've collected $30,000, so we're running at 38%. Again, another testimony to, you know, the growth and the volume. And the other thing we're doing kind of at a pretty high level is with our comptroller's help and also our district attorney, Chief Haynes, Dean Haymore, and myself, and a few others, are getting together and trying to really better track of a building permit fee, how much does fire really have to do? Well, we can potentially, hopefully, shift some funds to go in there. The annual inspections, for instance, are really essentially unfunded at this stage of the process. So it's a good effort that we've got underway to hopefully both correct a little bit this year and definitely hit next year's budget much better forecasted. So.
And I appreciate those efforts. I wasn't going to bring that up, but I think that's a very important item to discuss is prevention really needs to have its own funding sources, and that's really what we're striving to accomplish. It shouldn't be funded out the operations side. And Comptroller Gallagher, County Manager Witten, and District Attorney Maddox have been great with helping us figure out a funding means mechanism so that it's not being funded out of operations budget, and it's truly a standalone fund within the budget. So thank you.
Add something to that. It was historically, and up until 2009, I think, Chief, the fire department did get a portion, a percentage of business annual business license renewals, business license fees, somewhere along the line. I don't know if we cut the legs out of Fermini or what, but it disappeared. I don't think it was my fault. If it was, I apologize. So, but I am going to go back and take a look and see what that is thing is, because it whatever that percentage was, because I think that's it's something that's well needed, because he is providing a service without getting any remuneration from revenues that are going into the general fund. So with that, Mr. Commissioners, Mr. Chairman, that concludes this. I only want to bring up one more point to where this all comes down to. It starts, it's a very serious exercise that we do. It culminates with hopefully a good report on our annual reports when we get audited by our outside auditing firms. There seems to be some misunderstanding as to how our annual reports are reported on and disseminated to the public. I will tell you that the format for our annual report is dictated by the Department of Taxation, and it is dictated by the Department of Taxation into what we call functions. And functions include general government, judicial, public safety, public works, sanitation, health, welfare, culture and recreation, community support, debt service, and intergovernmental expenditures. You will see that on any annual report. Within those functions, there are those objects which must be also concluded and included. They are salaries and wages, employee benefits, services and supplies, and capital outlays. So consequently, when you see a actual versus budgeted item on any particular fund or department within a fund, you will see all of those four. And if you are, if a department or a fund is over budget on any of those functions or any of those objects, there is a requirement by the internal, by the external auditor to include that in his annual financial statement, which is pretty much titled Auditor's Report on Current Year's Recommendations. So I want you to keep that in mind. The audited report for 2014 will be here shortly, but it's to clear up some misnomers that's been out there that says if your bottom line is okay, your fund or department is okay, that is simply not true. So that's my clarification.
Very good. Mr. Shevagin, do you have any questions?
I'm ready for a recess.
Okay. Mr. Gilman?
Yeah, one comment. I'd like to offer a special thank you and recognition here for all the departments, and especially you. Undertaking a line item budget process as we adopted last year, and we're now moving into a second full year. You guys are doing a fabulous job. And I don't believe there's any more of a process more awesome than doing line item budgeting, because that's going to give us fiscal control. It's going to make us all visit quarterly where we're going and look at our line items. And if we manage our accounts, it's so important because we appropriate funds by these accounts. And it's mandated we look at these accounts. And so although we can look at the overall budget and that we're 21% or 24% or 27%, that's good numbers, but line item control is where proper fiscal management starts. And it's a lot of work, and we've come through a wonderful process. And Hugh Gallagher, I can't thank you enough for what you do. And I think you've made a tremendous threshold change in our county financial management, and I thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think all the elected officials and all the department heads have done a great job in maintaining their budgets. So, okay, with that, we're going to take about a 10-minute recess here.